Then in chapter 8, at the beginning of this chapter, we see where the Bible talks about after the Ark of the Covenant has been brought into the temple, that the glory of God comes and fills that house there. And it was then that Solomon offered up the longest prayer that's recorded in the Bible. And we find that in chapter 8. But we get to verse 54 where we started tonight reading. And after that prayer, we see Solomon stand up. And then he blesses all the congregation. Verse 55 says he blessed all the congregation of Israel. And the Bible records that for us, all right? And it's in these verses that we see what I would call Solomon's plea for his people. And I want you to kind of look at it with me. We'll go down through some of these verses and see. And it forms a wonderful pattern for you and I to pray, all right? You figure out, well, what do I pray? And some people, they'd go to the Lord's Prayer, and what is called the Lord's Prayer. And you know that, our Father which art in heaven, and some people repeat that. And but the Lord kind of gives us here a pattern that you could follow if you would. So I want you to notice with me, look first of all in verse 57, all right? Notice what he prays for. The Lord our God be with us. The Lord our God. He pleads for the presence of God. Pleads for the presence of God. My soul, how we need God's presence in our life, all right? Now, obviously, there's no way to have his presence apart from being born again. If you do not have him and he has you, then you'll never have his presence, all right? You have to have him as your Savior. Now, I realize tonight's a Sunday night crowd, okay? And folks, here you come tonight, I believe, because you care about the Lord's house, you care about your church, you want to hear something from God, you want to get something, and you need him, you've trusted him as your Savior, and you've called upon him, and you've asked him to forgive you and to save your soul. Well, that's the only way that you'll have the presence of the Lord, because he then comes in and dwells in you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. But I want you to think of this way. I don't want you to just stop and think, well, I know I have him because I'm saved and I know the Spirit of God lives in me. But how about your grasp and your, for lack of another word, the feeling of the daily presence of God? Just him being there with you regularly on a conscious idea and a consciousness of God's presence in your life. I think of the man in the Old Testament named Enoch. And the Bible tells us something about him that is absolutely marvelous. And the Bible says Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. That fellowship that's there. Is there somebody you know that you enjoy being with? Enjoy maybe walking with, spending time with. Sometimes you really don't have to talk. You can just, it's just the presence. Hey, we ought to have that kind of idea and that kind of desire for the presence of God in our life. That we might think of him every day, and we know that Enoch walked with God. There's no reason you and I can't walk with him. And boy, what a good thing that we would daily pray for God's presence in our life. That we would have a real grasp of the fact that he's there. And we would have that consciousness, all right? How different our life could be and how different your life would be if you realized every hour of every day that God was in you and he was working out his will for you in your life. And it's not something to fight against or resist, but it's something to enjoy and to see what he's going to do. You remember when your kid was little? Some may say still is. All right. You remember the fun it was to see what they'd do next? When you're raising them and you're there, I think of milestones in the life of my children. the big things, like you get them off a bottle. Hallelujah, no more fixing bottles. That was a wonderful time, all right? Then they get trained for that deal that makes you not have to clean up so many messes, all right? What a blessing. That was a milestone, all right? When they learned to walk and they took that first step. I remember my son when he took his first step. And this is not told embarrassing. There's nothing embarrassing about it. We lived over on Neches Street, and I think, remember right, I was sitting in the floor or maybe sitting on the end. My wife was on the telephone, and old Lance, he was standing there, you know, holding on. You know how they learn to pull up, hold on to things. And all of a sudden, he just turned loose, started walking. Well, Susie was on the phone. My wife's on the phone, and I didn't want to say, "Hey, look," because I figured if I said that, he'd fall. You know? So I'm going, signal. It was a big day. A big day. The day he could drive and he could chauffeur me. That was a manner of wonderful day. All right, just being there, those moments were good. But think about how many moments you've had with God when the Lord just saw fit to step into your life and take you along, carry you along a little further down the road, just to learn what it was to walk with him. Solomon talked about the presence of the Lord. Boy, there's something you ought to pray for. Want your presence in my life. Don't let me live doing my own thing. But let me live with that consciousness of your presence. You're there. You're looking over my shoulder. And by the way, not looking over your shoulder to catch you and say, "Aha!" No, but looking over your shoulder to guide you and to direct you, just to help you. Boy, live with that consciousness. Want the presence of God. Secondly, look in verse 58, all right? Look at verse 58. The Bible says that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. You understand? What Solomon's doing here is pleading for the desire to do God's will. The desire just to do the will of God. That I'll keep your word. I'll keep your word. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. I'll do as I know I'm supposed to do, all right? The psalmist prayed, and flip over to Psalm 143. Don't lose your place here, but flip over to Psalm 143, and just look at a verse here with me, all right? Psalm 143, and look, if you will, in verse 10. Psalm 143, verse 10. Here's the psalmist. He said, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Teach me to do thy will. Hey, we want to know it. We ought to have a desire to know and to do the will of God. That's the psalmist. He wanted to know the will of God so he could do the will of God. You know, some people, I think, pray and seek the will of God, and then they find out, "God, I ain't doing that." Then we run from God. We run from his will. What a crazy idea. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand Christians who have no interest and what the will of God is. I don't understand that. I do not understand a Christian that will say, "I'm saved, but I don't care what God's will is. And I want to know that will. What to do? What to do?" I don't know around your place, but at our place, if we go out to eat, it's tempting to see who asks first, "Where are we going? Where you want to go?" And, "Well, how about here?" "No, I don't think I want to go there." "Well, how about over there?" "Well, we were there just not too long ago." You know, and we go back and forth. Sometimes we go somewhere and we sit down and we order and we think, "Why did we come here? Why did we do that?" Hey, how good it is to be able to seek out and just say, "Hey, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? We ought to have a desire to do God's will. That's what he's asking, that he may incline our hearts unto him. He may incline our hearts unto him. Put our desire into us to do his will, to walk in his ways, keep his commandments, his statutes. That's what he's asking for. Put that desire in me. Put that desire in me that I would want to do the will of God. If God's presence is real to you, then I think you'll have more of a desire to do the will of God. If his presence is there, if you don't have that desire, then you ought to pray and ask God to give you that desire. If you don't care what it is, then pray. Ask God, Lord, give me that desire. You know, did it ever occur to you that it's a good thing to ask God to give you the desires of your heart? Now, most of us, we look at that saying a little differently. We want the desires of our heart. We don't want God to give us those desires. No, we've got our desires, and we want him to give us the desires that we desire. But how much better, are you with me? We ask him, Lord, help me to want the right things. Help me to want the right things. Develop in me an appetite for the things of God. Appetite for the things of God. The biggest thing you have holding you back from the ability to lose weight is your appetite. I normally don't find myself, man, I'm just craving a celery stick. If I could just chomp on a chunk of celery, I don't find myself doing that. Never do. He does? Well, that's because something wrong with him. I've known that for years. But normally we don't. That's not what we want. Man, I'm thinking about, my wife, she asked me the other day at school, said, I've got somebody on the phone, they'll go by and get us lunch. What do you want? I said, chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes, and gravy. She said, give me something we can get. Well, you asked me what I wanted, all right? That's what I'd rather have. Hey, how much better it be if we would let the Lord and ask him to put the desire in us to do his will, just to do what he would want us to do, just to do his will. I wrote down here in my notes, if you don't want to, you may be dead and not know that. You don't care anything about the will of God. You don't care anything about doing the will of God. You may be dead spiritually. All right? Just don't understand it. Here's Solomon. His plea for his people was he pled for the presence of God. Lord, that we would know your presence. Then he pled for the desire, that they would have a desire to do God's will. Then look at verse 59. And let these my words, wherewith I have made a supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night. Now here it is, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times. He pled really for help with the daily needs. Maintain the cause. Maintain the cause. Who doesn't need help with maintaining the cause in their own life? We need that. Man, that we might pray that he would help us to have what we need. Look, the world's a complicated place. Complicated place. I'm not using this illustration. I just think about what I've heard in the last few days, some of the things in the political realm that they're looking into, some of the spending that was going on and where tax money was going to. And I'm thinking, good lands, no wonder we're in debt up to our ears. They're spending money like there's no free stuff. Just give it away. But the world's a complicated place. It's easy for us to say, just cut it off. Stop it. That's what I want them to do. And stop that. Hey, here we are, though. There's complications in it. Once you do that, You stop that, but it affects somebody. It affects somebody down the line you may not thought that it would ever affect. And so you make a wonder of it. You and I, as we go through life, every day we make a multitude of what we would call little decisions, little choices, little things. And yeah, maybe a major one every now and then. But the result of even those small decisions can add up to a major problem if you make the wrong one. Lord, would you help me to maintain my cause? Help me to maintain my cause. Just keep me on that even keel. I need your help. I don't ever want to be that guy that stands up and says, I don't need the help of God. Boy, I need it. I need his wisdom to make decisions. I need to know what to do. Many, many times, Lord, what in the world do we do? But yet there's a crowd today that seems to have no desire for God's help in anything. They've got this do my own thing kind of mentality and kind of attitude. That kind of attitude is displayed by folks who don't pray and do not seek direction in the Word of God. Boy, I hope that's not you and me. We'd be people that would say, Lord, I need your help to maintain my cause. I need you to help me. I need you to keep me going. All right, go with me. Once again, don't lose your place here in 1 Kings. But look in Psalms, would you? Notice how that is expressed by the psalmist. Psalm 46, all right? Psalm 46, look in verse 1 there. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. You know, he is. You get into trouble, you can flee to him, all right? You can flee to him, and that's good. I'm glad we can. Psalm 71, look there with me. Verse 12, Psalm 71, verse 12. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Can I tell you the truth? I'd rather pray that than pray Psalm 46, verse 1. I want his help when I'm in trouble, but I would much rather have his help to keep me out of trouble. Oh, Lord, help me. Stay out of trouble, all right? In Psalm 71, verse 1, it says, in thee, O Lord, do put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Yeah, keep me out of trouble. Keep me out of confusion. I need your help for that. And make haste. That's when I pray. My prayer is always, could you do it now? I don't usually pray for down the road. I pray, Lord, right now, I need your help. And how much good it is if we had learned to plea and have that desire in us and ask God to help us, that he might be with us and strengthen us. Make the right decision. Do the right thing. Just so we don't get in trouble. Well, I'd rather be praying stay out than to get out, all right? To get out. I'd rather pray to stay out of prison than pray to get out of prison. Wouldn't you? Yeah, I'd much rather pray that way. God help us and that we might learn to plead with him, maintain the cause, all right? Just maintain it. I need it, all right? I need that above everything else. You'd help me do it, Lord. Pray for the help of God. Then look at this other thing. The fourth thing, look back in verse 61, would you? There in our text in 1 Kings chapter 8, back in verse 61. The Bible said, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments as at this day. He pled for the desire to obey the Lord and obey the word of God. Pled for the desire that all the people of there, all right? Let your heart therefore be perfect, Lord our God, to walk in his statutes. He pled that we'd have a desire to obey the word of God. You ever stop and think about how much God wants your obedience? Stop and think about how much God values obedience. There in 1 Samuel 15:22, when Saul had sinned, the prophet told him, look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. You say, well, I've sacrificed a lot of things for the Lord. Well, but have you obeyed him? Have you obeyed him? Just simple obedience. Simple obedience. Just would you do what he says? You know, here we are. What a wonderful thing. The Lord wants our obedience. It's important to him. There's no doubt in the world that he wants us to obey his word. He gave us this word for a reason. Not just so we could know what we were doing wrong, but so that we would do right. That we would obey his word. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the Apostle Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God. Hey, that's our duty. That is our duty. Just have a question. How much do you desire to obey this book? How much do you desire to obey it? I think that's the reason some people are shy away from reading it. Because they say, man, I get in that book and God's going to tell me what to do, and I don't want him to tell me. I want to do what I want to do. Oh, but man, we need to pray and say, Lord, would you put a desire in me to obey the word of God? I'll be honest with you, raising children, when I was a kid growing up, my parents did things to put a desire in me to obey. And it was usually done with a stick or a belt. All right, and it put the desire in me to obey. By the way, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But let me say this to you. My wife and I were talking, and, you know, there's more to this business of getting kiddos to obey than just punishing them. There ought to be a desire into them to give some stability in life and to give some structure in life. And truthfully, when we get into the Word of God, that's what God wants to do for you and me. He wants to give us that structure for life, and he tells us, don't do this and don't do that, but make sure you do this and make sure you do that. What's he doing? He's giving us structure in life. He's giving us some things that if we'll obey that word, it'll give us stability in life. We'll not find ourselves stumbling along in life. We'll not find ourselves getting messed up, getting in trouble, and then having to pray, Lord, help me. No, if we'd have that desire to obey his word, obey his word. So the Lord puts that, and he wants us to do it. Hey, something's wrong with you if you don't want to obey the word of God. Now, just mildly and plainly, you're definitely not right with God. You don't want to obey the word of God. I don't care what else you say, you're not right with God. Man, there's people today that put out all kinds of stuff that's contrary to this book, and yet they claim to be serving the Lord. If you disobey this book, you're not serving him. I don't care how much things you do, all right, to sacrifice maybe, your obedience is more important. There ought to be within us a desire to obey the word of God. Good thing to plead, Lord, help me to have that desire, that strong desire to do what you say in your book. Help me to do it. Then fifthly, look in verse 60. We skipped that verse, all right? But look at verse 60. We're going to come back to it. Notice what he says, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and there's none else. You know what he's pleading for? He's pleading there for the spread of God's kingdom and out the world. The spread of the things of God throughout the world. Hey, folks, that's the reason we have a mission conference. That's the reason we have a mission conference. That's the reason we support missionaries that go into lands to try to spread the good news of salvation everywhere to everybody. To everybody. I encourage you, read the letters that we put out. Read those letters. Read as they tell of people that got saved. Read as they talk about that and the experiences they have, where they are, and the battle they fight against the devil and all the forces of evil. Hey, they go after it, all right? We're interested in the whole world knowing about our Savior. We're interested in the world knowing. We are because we're commanded. We're commanded to go into all the world and teach all nations. It just occurred to me, Brother Donald Lowry, that's Brother Charles and Brother Doug's brother, he sent me a text this afternoon when I was in deep meditation, or trying to be there, all right? And he wrote this. He said, checking to ensure I'm correct. Is a Christian obligated to share salvation with someone? I said yes, because of the Great Commission. I wrote back, we're commanded to tell others. We're commanded to tell others. It's not one of those things, well, hey, man, we'll do that because it's a good idea. No, we're commanded to do it. We're commanded to do it. That Great Commission was not given to somebody else. It was given to you and me. Given to His church. You're that church. You're a part of it. That's who it was given to. All right? So we've been given that. And so Solomon pled that the word of God be spread throughout the world, that the whole world would know that the Lord is God and there's none else. Oh, that's important that we do that. I don't know if you ever think about it. I'm glad I was born in the United States. But I'm even gladder, even happier, that I was born in a home where I was taken to church. And I was encouraged to listen. I was expected to listen. But I realized this, the lesson I learned was not just for me. The lesson I learned was not just for me. It wasn't just you need it. But as I think I was a teenager before ever saying, everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Second verse. Everybody ought to tell, everybody ought to tell, everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. We ought to. We're obligated. We've been given that commission. It's the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. It's the Great Commission. We've been told, get the gospel to the world. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them. Hey, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Hey, that's what we do through the missions program. Now, in person, you can do that here. Here. You can do that here. You said, I can, I've got to work. You meet people, don't you? You see people. You've got neighbors. You got neighbors. Have you ever talked to them about the Lord? You witness to them? Those people you meet, easiest thing in the world, stick a tract in your pocket and hand it to somebody. Would you read that? Would you read that? Well, if you get a chance, would you just take a minute and read that? That's not hard to do. I mean, what are you afraid of? You say, well, they won't take it. Okay. We'll say, fine. All right. But remember, I tried. And Lord, if I meet that person at the great white throne judgment, they're never going to be able to point their finger at me and say, you didn't tell me. You said, I tried. You wouldn't take it. I tried. Hey, God's commanded us to go. God's commanded us in person. We can do it right here. Years ago, I saw this on a wall in the church, in person, here, in purse, the world. We give to support these missionaries. We give to support these missionaries. I counted them up because I lose count. We got like 64 missionaries or mission projects we support. He said, that's enough. No, it ain't. There's still people that haven't heard. We've got missionary coming to our mission conference. He's visited in our church. He and his family have been here. They've been in a mission conference over there. Coming, they're going to Iceland. We don't have a missionary in Iceland. Good, be good if we could take them on and support them. Be good if we could do that, all right? And you say, who's the other one? You're going to have to come find out. Because I'm not going to tell you. All right? You just have to come get in on it. Hey, there's folks that they need to hear the gospel. It's all over the world. We need to help them. We need to help them. You say, preacher, I'm tough in it. It's tough monetarily. I understand that. Now, I'm going to say something to you, not to berate you, but I want you to think about it. How much money do you spend on stuff that's really not that important? How much money do we spend on stuff that's really not that important? It's, we just get used to spending it. I may make you mad, but can I just say this? Does anybody know what the latest version of the iPhone is? Anybody? I don't know. What? 16? You think it's 16? Somebody asked me, what do you got? I said, a phone. I don't know what version it is. I got no idea. Have no idea. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you've got number 15 and it works, why in the world you got to have 16? Why do you need that? Okay? I'm just talking about there's things that we do that we spend money because we have somewhere in our mind, we got this idea, I've got to have that. I've got to have that. But the truth of the matter is a lot of stuff we've got we could do without. Now, you know, we could just do it. I'm not telling you sell your car and buy a junk heap, all right? I'm not telling you that. If you live here, you need a dependable vehicle. You need a dependable vehicle. And that's a good thing to have. And so I understand that. But I'm amazed at people that don't have, that spend money on cigarettes. I talked to a homeless couple. They don't have stuff, but they can afford cigarettes. They're expensive things. And if you smoke, I'm sure they're hard to break off of. I'm sure they are, not discount that. But, you know, there's a lot of things we do. It'd probably be better for you if you didn't drink 15 Dr. Peppers a day. Just probably be better for you. And there's other things like that. And by the way, I'm not anti-Dr. Pepper, okay? I'm just trying to get you to think a little bit. We think, I can't, but boy, we can if we just look at it a little different, all right? Look at it a little different. I do believe everybody ought to know who Jesus is. I've sung it, I've heard it preached, I've read it. I'll be honest, I've preached it, I believe it. I'll pray, and I'll go, and I'll give to make it happen. Going to just do everything I can. Now, how about you? Maybe would you think about it tonight? Would you, you know, ask God for His presence in your life? Ask God for His presence in your life, that He might be in you, present there, all right? That He might give you the desire to obey Him. Give you the desire to obey Him. Give you the help that you need. And plead, Lord, help me be involved in the spread of the gospel around the world. I believe that one of the great joys of heaven is we always think about, well, seeing mom, dad, or grandma, and grandpa, and our friends that have departed. And yes, that'll be a wonderful thing. But I believe one of the great joys of heaven is going to be to meet people that we had a part in reaching. Somebody maybe up in far northern Alaska, Brother Miss Claypool up there serving the Lord there. They've been in our church one time. They came in a mission conference. I haven't seen them since. That was years ago. We've been supporting them. There they are laboring in a difficult place to reach people with the gospel. How good it'll be one of these days to meet in heaven somebody that said, I'm sure I'm glad because you gave so I could get saved. I'm glad you gave. Thanks. Thanks for doing that. Maybe somebody from down in the South American jungle of the Amazon jungle live way out where you and I could never go. I mean, I don't care how much money you have, you can't get there because the government will not let you go there. Because you might ruin those people who are living in a barely civilized lifestyle. But it's just wonderful we don't mess that up. Well, you and I can't go. But we give. You look on that Brazil map that's in here somewhere. You look on there and you'll see Indian Bible Institute. And that Indian Bible Institute, what that's doing is teaching those Indians that have gotten saved somehow. They came out of that jungle and they go to that Indian Bible Institute and they're trained there to go back in, and the government can't stop them because that's their people. Boy, just think. You meet some little old short Brazilian that got saved because we gave. Because you gave. I'm telling you, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And it's not going to be because of streets of gold and mansions and the river of life. It's going to be because of people that are there that you look at and you can rejoice. I had a part in that. Man, I had a part in that. I tried to go to Brazil. Some of you have heard that story. It didn't work. I wanted to go. Probably never will now. Never will. But one of these days, I look forward to looking some Brazilians in the eye who were saved because we supported not just Joe Hawkins and Tim Hawkins, but Donald Leaf, his family, the Johnsons. They're down there ministering to the deaf in Brazil. All those people, folks down in Mexico, Brother Patterson down there and his mom, ministering to people just on a daily basis out up and down the hills, witnessing to people in the little villages around there. And you read their letters and you'll see them talking about, we've covered this village, and then we've gone to this next village, and every door we've knocked, witnessed to everybody there that would listen. Hey, there are going to be people in heaven. God, help us to pray. Help us to pray, Lord, get the gospel around the world and help me to be a part of it. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come tonight. We think about things that we ought to be praying for. Sometimes we're kind of lax in praying for some things that it'd be good for us to ask you for. Lord, I just pray you'd deal with our hearts. Lord, first of all, that we might desire your presence. Lord, to have a consciousness every day of your presence with us, that we might know what it is to walk with you.